We're live from Selkirk in the Scottish Borders, where there is a threat to close more than 30 council facilities. We can speak now with Ewan Jardine, who is the leader of the Borders Council. Thank you so much for coming in tonight, okay. Councillor. Can you talk us through what services and venues could be cut?
You know, so what we're looking at here is, so Live Borders is the delivery arm of these services across the region. So we're looking at swimming pools, community halls, libraries, etc. So we've had facilities and a consultant to come out and look at these facilities to actually do a real good deep dive into what we can make potentially savings in, but also how we can reshape them for the future and put investment into them. And if anyone knows leisure and cultural services across the nation, it is an epidemic across the nation in terms of underfunding, under-resourcing, and it's something that's not, you know, for just the Scottish Borders. This is a national issue, and I've raised it at COSLA. I've campaigned for a special interest group in sport at COSLA, the first time ever, believe it or not, that local governments had a voice in that space, because there is no policy for sport and culture and leisure in terms of, you know, keeping these buildings. We've inherited a lot as a council, as Live Borders, but what we need to do is make them fit for the future.
We've spoken to quite a lot of people in this area today who are extremely angry about the cuts that are going to happen. Some saying they're literally a lifeline. People talking about having to travel for miles for fairly vital services. Do you understand their anger? And you're talking about fit for purpose, but what are you going to replace them with?
So absolutely, like sport and culture shaped and changed my life, and I know the benefits of it, but I want to make it clear that we are making no cuts. We're going out to consultation to speak to communities.
But you are going to have to make cuts, aren't you? They're unavoidable.
Yeah, unavoidable potentially, but they will be cuts with the community working with them to make sure that that consultation piece is very rigorous, so that we are making communities for fit for them. And I've always stated that nobody knows their communities better than those living in our communities.
But they're saying don't cut.
But we're saying, let's have a look then and see if they're not saying don't cut. How can we shape them then differently? Can we look at the opening hours? Can we look at different staffing models? There's a whole roast of things that we can be looking at here. So it's not just about cutting, it's about the consultation. But if we don't have this discussion, things will actually just go before we even realise they're gone, and we need to take communities with us.
On yesterday's programme, we heard from Scotland's most decorated Olympian swimmer, Duncan Scott. He said that pool closures would be a huge loss to Scottish kids. The same, I suppose, could be said for all services, for libraries. We heard that wee chap earlier on talking about how it gets him off his Nintendo. You know, these are potentially future Olympians that we might be missing out on. The impact could go on for years, couldn't it, the legacy?
No, absolutely. And this is what I've spoken to at national government. I've spoken to Shona Robson about this. I've said, congratulations on getting the 2026 Commonwealth Games. What a great legacy. However, if we don't get this right, the legacy will be closed swimming pools, closed leisure facilities across the country where people won't be able to take on and get that experience. So it's really, really important that government funds this. In England, they funded it, the swimming, but they haven't
done it in
Scotland.
What do you need then? What do you need in this area?
We need money and we need policy and we need that direction to come from government to work with COSLA and so everyone can do it.
How much money do you need?
I mean, we need a substantial one. So we're putting out an extra $2 million on top of the $4.5 million that we're giving into Live Borders a year. And we just can't keep sustaining that. Council resources are getting pulled left, right and centre on many different factors. And a lot of the things are not statutory obligations. Talking about libraries, statutory obligation, you only need one library in a region. I mean, we don't want to go down that level, but this is where we need to be. We want a library everywhere that the possibility so people can get out, they can have social experiences, but we need to reinvent libraries and get that experience.
How much money do you need? Because there'll be people who are listening who are not in this area, mm-hmm. who perhaps aren't aware of the history of this, but how much money do you need?
Well, to keep them sustained, so if you look at Teviotdale Leisure Centre, that costs over £500,000 a year just to keep that sustained and running, and that's one of our key places. So I would say you need 2, 3, 4, 5 million for a region, and for the country you need maybe 100, 120 million just to keep going. But it's building new infrastructure, it's not just keeping the same infrastructure, because a lot of it's modelled from the 80s, 70s, 80s and 90s, but the world's moved on in terms of leisure provision and what people's habits are. So we need a modern fit for purpose, but the Scottish Government need to give us the money, give us that ability to do it, because sport's easily just a red line, but it's not a red line. The same with culture, these are important things in society.
Community. I know you've had a busy day as council leader, not just the budget discussions that happened this morning, but I know earlier in the programme we heard from the parents that won a legal battle against the council for only providing gender neutral toilets at their children's school. They've said to us, and they spoke to my colleague Cameron Buttlebutt earlier in the programme, that this should never have gone to court. Do you regret what happened?
Look, this is the first time I found out about it is when we were told about the court case coming, and this is, we got it wrong. We've stated that we didn't, you know, appeal it. We put it in, and now we'll set course to put things right. And I think that's important here. So obviously there's the regret and the apologise for that. But this came down, and it wasn't until then till I found out about it. So this is very much operational.
So you hadn't prior
political.
Knowledge of this then till it reached court.
Yes. So,
and do you think it should have been headed off?
I think it should have been. We look at it in terms of the policy, and we listen to the officer's advice, and if they've got it wrong in this point, then they've got it wrong. But what we need to do is now make sure we get it right. And I
how
think
do
that's
you do
important.
That?
So we'll go obviously do a full review of our school estate. We've got new ones coming through. So we've got Hoyt High School coming, Peebles, Gala Shields. We need to be in there looking at that. But then we need to go around the whole of the estate. But we just need to make sure we do it right. And I think that's the important thing. So I'm no expert in this. It's a very complex thing. But I think we just need to make sure we're in front of this. And it's no secrets and nothing being done outside. It's full and transparent.
Because it's probably, I'm sure it probably will land on your desk and it will be discussed, I'm sure, at Council Chamber. And I presume there'll be people listening to this tonight to know what happens next. So from Borders Council's point of view, what are the next steps to this?
So it's looking at, so we just had the, yesterday we got the news on it.
Yeah.
So now we'll look at all the schools, we'll sit down, we'll work out a plan and what we're going to do and how we're going to push that forward. Some of it's going to be very operational, but from a political side, I think as administration and as a council, we will be at the forefront of it and making sure that we are getting this right. And it will be open dialogue with parents, etc.
So the officials didn't inform you about this before it got to court. Is that perhaps an oversight? Should that have been done differently?
I mean, and I think this happens up and down the land in council. So anybody who doesn't know how council works, there's very much operational matters that go day to day, and there's council policy that we drive as councillors. So yeah, and I'll have this conversation with the chief executive and continue this sort of.
And you'd rather known about this?
Oh, of course. I would like to know if things like this are coming. So you can be two or steps ahead, but if you just find out on the day it's going to court, it's quite hard to.
Okay. The other thing that I wanted to ask you about is I spoke to the CEO from Centre Parks today. He was talking about the potential investment in this area and plans for Scotland's first residential village. What difference would that make to this area, to the Borders as a region?
It's an absolute game changer for the region. It's really phenomenal what it's going to do in terms of jobs, but it's given that real boost economic-wise and then economic development. It's going to be such a springboard for the region. I was out in Longford Island having a look at the site there, speaking to the local councillors there, speaking to people in the communities, and they've said it has instrumentally changed everything about the area. Young people are staying in the region. It's given the region a purpose. And Scotland starts here. That's the tagline for this region, is Scotland starts here. It's a real gem, a real crown, but not many people know about it. But now this really gives it that emphasis. You know, Scotland starts here. The Scottish Borders is fantastic.
The one thing I wanted to ask you about, I spoke to quite a few locals about this, and it does seem to be a very positive mood about the plans. But the one thing they did raise was worries about traffic, about road safety. And we've touched on road safety in the programme. Are there ways that the volume of traffic can be mitigated? Because that seems to be a worry for people.
Yeah, and of course, as part of the whole dialogue, we're working with Transport Scotland on that. And we're working with, so there's different little groups set up within the council, within Transport, the government, within Centre Parks, looking at different parts of the project, because it is a massive project. But speaking again in Longford, that was something that they looked at. They built a new road, etc. So there's a lot of work that will be done to mitigate that and make sure it's done. But that's one part of the puzzle, and it's a whole big puzzle. But we will make sure we take communities with us as they drive forward.
The other thing, speaking to people in Selkirk Town Centre this morning, is some concern that young people are not staying, that some young people are moving away, and that the population is aging, and there's not that, I suppose, young people there for job opportunities. How do you change that, do you think?
Yeah, it's one of those things that's always been a Scottish Borders issue. People, what you find, I know a lot of friends who went up to Edinburgh, Glasgow for uni, but what they always do is they come back and raise their children here in Scottish Borders, because it's, and, but then the cycle, you know, goes out. But we're delivering esports education schools. That's going to create more education, more opportunities for young people. We've got great area. Obviously, with Centre Parks coming, we've got a fantastic tourism offer, but it's letting people know that there is a lot to be here on the Scottish borders. It's not just the back and beyond. We've got so much. We've got a train line that goes straight to Edinburgh, so 50 minutes on the train from Galashiels is not that long. If you're in London, and if you sat in the tube, 50 minutes would be nothing, and it's the same with that. And it's just encouraging people, stay here, bring up a family here, live here, and really enjoy, embrace what we've got. We've got a real peaceful atmosphere. We've got a real great area, and I would say we've got the best council in Scotland.